Waiting on God's timing. So important. Of all the principles that I've learned in the scriptures, the one that really stands out the most to me is waiting upon the Lord. I remember having a conversation with Bob Newhart. You remember Bob Newhart? He's in glory now. But I know that we were discussing, he really wanted, had a desire to be a pastor. He wanted to be a pastor. He spoke in a lot of churches and he wanted to be a pastor. And he certainly had the qualifications and the schooling for it. And he asked me, he said, "Wonder why God doesn't open up a place for me to pastor?" I said, "Well, Brother Bob, it's all about God's timing. It's God's timing. And obviously God's timing is not yet, but I said it will be. Oh, I'm sorry. Little ones can be dismissed to go to junior church. Thank you, Tanya. I saw Tanya getting recruits." So I said to Bob, I said, "Well, God's timing is what it's all about." And God eventually got a church and he was pastoring. I really miss his phone calls. They would really be quite something in the political environment that we're in right now. I can tell you they would be interesting. This is a very critical issue because you see, God's will includes his timing. And I know that every one of you want to have God's will done in your life. But it's God's timing that's involved. And I can tell you, he has an awesome plan already mapped out for each and every one of you. He only reveals it sometimes one step at a time. When we follow his plan, he is glorified. He is magnified. He is lifted up. Scripture says, when he is lifted up, he'll draw all men unto him. If we don't seek the Lord's guidance each day, we'll end up following our own course. And as a result, we'll be confused, dissatisfied, because we've missed what God intended to give to us and to do through us, because we'll miss it, because we weren't following God's timing. The wisest thing we can do is to start every day, by connecting with the Almighty Lord. We need to communicate with him daily. We need to develop an intimate relationship. Instead of only coming to him in times of emergency or when we need something, we should begin each morning by asking him to help us to walk wisely, not lagging behind, not getting ahead of his plan, but walking with him. So what does it mean to wait on the Lord? David was a man who chose to live according to the Lord's plan and schedule. It was said, and Elroy did a fine job on the lesson. David was a man after God's own heart. I think of David. I was doing a little studying on David and Goliath. I have a message that I'd like to share when I get back. The similarities and parallels of our Lord's ministry and that of David and Goliath, what happened there. There's so many similarities between our Lord's ministry. He came and our Lord gave a death blow to Satan. And of course, David gave a death blow to Goliath as well. But there's so many similarities. That's just the beginning of them. But David was one who chose to live according to the Lord's plan. Now, he didn't always do that. Our lesson today showed us that he detoured from that a bit. Some of us all detour. I think about how David was so in love with the Lord when he was so younger. When he was younger, he was, let's see, he was only 16. He was probably 14, maybe 15, when he came to slew Goliath. He was sent by his father. He said, "Go give the boys some food." So he ended up in the camp and to give them food. And of course, Goliath came out and spoke his big mouth and defied the armies of the living God, and David heard it. But I think about David. He was so, so excited about God, and he loved the Lord, and how that he came to Goliath with just a sling and a stone, and he said, I come to you with the power and might of God. You come to me with a sword and shield. I come to you in the name of our Lord. So David really did love the Lord, and the Lord loved him. But he made some wrong choices in life, as we all do sometimes. He was anointed at around the age 16. He didn't actually become king of Israel till about 14 years later. That would have made him 30. God's promise certainly was sure. The timing was unknown, of course, to David. He had to wait. Much of that time he spent hiding and running from King Saul, who was continually trying to kill him. It was from the day that David slew Goliath that Saul eyed him. He kept an eye on David. He knew there was something different about that young boy. And then when they started singing about David slew and his thousands and Saul his thousands and David his 10,000s, that's when Saul really got jealous and wanted to kill David from that time on. God uses delays to prepare us for his plans. I told you, I don't know which teacher it was, but it was what, first year of school, college, was he said in one of our lessons, God's delays are never his denials. God's delays are never his denials. Just keep that in mind. Although God delays, just remember, it's not his denial. David had learned lessons during his difficult years. And then it would prepare him for his future role as a king. God uses, you see, our hurts and our losses and our disappointments to produce character qualities that we'll need to accomplish his plan that he has for each and every one of us. Waiting in God is an active stillness. What I mean by that, it doesn't mean we just stop all activity and we do nothing. It means that when the Lord's bringing about changes in our lives, he wants us to just continue to be productive, watch and wait for future directions. Waiting on God is purposeful. We think the Lord's plan for our lives is on the other side of the delay, but God is still in control of our life. His eyes, the process of waiting, is a very essential part of his purpose. And so he allows us to wait for us to know that these things are coming to pass. Indeed, they will come to pass if we wait. God knows when we're willing to accept his answers. Sometimes we don't always like them. We need to listen. He will reveal the next step. He's always got our best in mind. His timing is always perfect, and the best doesn't always come quickly. In school, remember better, good, better, and best? Well, he always has his best in mind. We are frequently admonished in the scriptures to wait on the Lord. And then we'll begin reading Psalms chapter 25, chapters 25, verses 1 through 5. Let me get there. Well, Dale's probably putting it on the wall behind me. There it is. 25 verses 1 through 5. Unto thee, Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed with transgressions without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in the truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. And I noticed in the same verse, there was another wait. Verse 21 says, let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. And then Psalms 37, 1. I got these all marked. Psalms 37 and 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they soon will be cut down like grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. 7-9, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any ways to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. And then also verse 34, wait on the Lord, keep his way. He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. All right, some more scripture verses. Psalms 40 and verse 1. You see, God's not trying to keep his plan secret. He wants to reveal his plan to us. We don't need to know what to always do next. He hears our cries, and he hears our cries for help, and he shows us the way to Psalms 40 and verse 1. Let me read that as well, 40 and verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. I can't always say that I have always waited patiently on the Lord. Isaiah 64 and 4. Isaiah 64 and 4. I don't know if I'd marked that. Maybe I didn't. Anyway, it has to do with no matter what we face, God is always there and he acts on our behalf. Those who wait on him, he is omniscient, omnipotent, and sovereign. He can do what no one else can, and he always works for our good. So why does God require that we wait? And here are some things that he requires that we wait. To receive his clear direction. To receive his clear direction. We don't know the future. And so sometimes we become impatient. And sometimes we think that we'll lose out on something if we don't act now. You ever been there? You ever try to make things work out? You get impatient waiting, and you think you need to act or do something now? But what God has planned is already has our name on it. And there's no way that we can lose anything if we follow him. He's given us his word and his spirit to teach and to guide us, his instruction to be conformed to the image of Christ, and he has empowered us to walk obedient to his will and according to his schedule, to keep us in step with his timing. His timing is so important. You know the Lord's never in a hurry. Did you find that to be true? The Lord is never in a hurry. We're in a hurry, but he's not. He created time. Remember Ecclesiastes, the portion there, there's a time to laugh, a time to mourn, there's a time to weep. There's a time to restrain from holding, there's a time to give, a time to withhold. That particular portion of scripture relates to me that God's in charge of time. He's in charge of time. He created time. With him, it's one eternal now. With us, all we have is just a little bit of time. Some of us don't know how much time we have left. Maybe we have very little time left. He created time and planned everything perfectly. He doesn't reveal everything to us when we want it. It's good he doesn't. Would you want to know how you died or when you died? I don't want to know that. I'm glad that's in his hands. We'll let him take care of that. I don't really want to know that. He knows. Because he says it's appointed on the man wants to die. So he has your appointment date. He knows when. I just don't really need to know. I'll just live every day until he calls me. He's given us confirmation in our spirits about what he's doing in our lives. And we can't presume to know when it will happen. We don't always know when it's going to happen. Sometimes he holds back because we're not ready to receive it. That's when we must trust his ways, and his timing are the best. And then sometimes he does it to test our faith. We already have so many blessings that God has promised, but sometimes he restrains them until we have learned to trust him. He wants us to believe him when we can't clearly see all the details. And then he wants to strengthen our faith, teaches us to walk by faith, trusting God's time instead of giving in to our own self-gratifications, and to sift the motives for our desires. Sometimes we pray selfishly, only to discover how foolish we were in our requests. And God's delay in answering our prayers gives us time to see situations from his viewpoint. You know, the more he waits, it gives us time for us to see those things through his viewpoint. And then lastly, how should we wait? How should we wait? We want to respond correctly. Instead of becoming impatient, nervous, and frustrated and miserable, we should follow these examples of how we can wait. We should wait patiently. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him, Psalms 37:7. This is kind of a recoup of what I've just shared with you. We should do it quietly. My soul waits in silence for God only. You ever been there? You ever been in a place like that where you didn't feel like talking about anything? You just sat in quiet and silence. I've been there. I've sat there in that silence. Sometimes it's hard to talk about something. Maybe it's so painful that it's hard to talk about. And so sometimes I just sit with the Lord. Just quietly. Because it's hard to talk about some things. And so I just have a quiet time with him. You ever been there? You know what I'm talking about. I know you have been. My soul waits for him. And we should do it trustingly. Do not fret. We should do it expectantly. I would have despaired, David said, unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So we should be expectant. We should do steadfastness and courageously. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage, Psalms 27:14. And then standing on God's word, I wait for the Lord, and in his word do I hope, Psalms 130, verse 5. So I want to ask you these questions in closing. How would your life change if each morning you asked God specifically to guide you in his plan for that day? When he delays in intervening in your life, how do you typically respond? How would understanding his purposes change your response? I want you right now to think of your most recent experience waiting on God. Just think for a moment. What is your most recent experience for waiting on God? So what do you think he was trying to teach you? What do you think he was trying to teach you? You know, if you find yourself in the same place, same situation, time after time after time, guess what? You're not learning. You're not learning what he wants to teach you. So if you don't want to be found in this same situation time after time, ask yourself, say, Lord, what is it that you're trying to tell me? What are you trying to teach me? Obviously, I'm not getting it, but I do want to get it. I do want to learn from it because I don't want to be here again. I don't want to be in the same situation again because it's not good. I don't like being in the same situation. So, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? And then are you willing to pray, Lord, I don't feel adequate, but I'll obey whatever you command. And I can tell you that God will use you in amazing ways if you will just let him. Would you stand with me? It's been so good to be with you today and to share his precious word with you. Heavenly Father, thank you. So many things that I have to say thank you for, and I don't know where to begin. But I want to just say a really big thank you. Thank you for Christian parents that took me to church. They didn't send me. They took me. And I sat with them, and I'm glad that they knew you. And I'm glad that they're in heaven today. I know you're taking good care of them. I miss them dearly. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be a pastor. I really have enjoyed it through the years. I really enjoy teaching and preaching your word, and now I have the opportunity to go see where it all happened. I'm just so grateful. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do. Give us a wonderful and a safe week, Lord. Be with these, Lord, who will be filling in for me. Be with them, Lord. Be with them wherever they are filling in today. Speak through them, Lord. Thank you for using them. It's great, Lord, I pray that each and every one can be used this week in a special way. Thank you for them. Give us a wonderful week. In Jesus' name we pray. Now everybody said, amen. Lord bless you.